Pastor Professor David Lau's Chapel Talk. Jeremiah 33, verses 14 to 16. When our country was young and faced disasters such as the present pandemic that afflicts us, it was customary for our nation's leaders to call for a day of repentance so that our citizens could call on their God and confess their sins and plead for relief. Such ideas and thoughts do not seem to occur very often in our country today. Rather, the idea seems to be that our nation or our people are so great and wonderful that we will certainly get through this together. It is not unusual for people to think or understand that we are a sinful people, just like all other peoples of the world, and that God could very well be sending this pandemic as a warning and wake-up call. After all, when even a rather minor disaster took place during Jesus' time, he told the people, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." But the call for repentance is heard very rarely from our civil authorities today, and we wonder whether it is even common among Christian leaders. Are we still aware that all events in the world and in our country are under the control of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man who died for our sins on the cross and rose again in glorious victory and ascended to heaven and is sitting on the right hand of the Father, possessing all authority in heaven and on earth? You can be sure that when the Israelites of old were faced with impending disaster from the mighty Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar, God's prophet Jeremiah was calling on the people to repent of their sins and turn to the Lord. Of course, most of the people did not listen to Jeremiah, and the nation fell, and the people were carried off to a strange land. What hope was there for them then? There was very little repentance, and so there was a frightful judgment. Even the destruction of the temple and an end to their usual worship. This was not a temporary end to their usual worship patterns. No, for 70 years and more, there were no temple services. There were no more priests offering sacrifices. There was no more singing of psalms. There were no more gatherings for worship in the courtyard of the temple. But in the midst of this upheaval, there came a word of hope from God through his faithful prophet Jeremiah, as we read in the 33rd chapter of his prophecy. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In those days Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness." Those few Israelites in Jeremiah's time who truly comprehended the enormity of their sins and the sins of their people were encouraged to look ahead to the coming days God had promised. Surely Jerusalem would never be the same again. The earthly glory days of David and Solomon would never be recaptured. But something much more wonderful was in store for God's people, the branch of righteousness, the seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, the promised Messiah to come from David's family. He will set things straight. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. He will deliver Judah from her enemies. Jerusalem will have a new name, even as the Son of David will have a new name, the Lord our righteousness. We are not living in a world or country that revolves around God and his promises. Our newscasts make no mention of God or his providence or of repentance or the promise of heavenly blessings. If we live an ordinary life in this world, we are not going to be reminded of such things as sin or judgment or the promises of God. Even though Bibles are everywhere available, the Word of God is rare in our days. Therefore, it is necessary for us to make room for God's Word in our lives, to read the prophecies of Jeremiah, and to hear about what wonderful hopes God gave to the suffering people at the time of their disaster. The days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised. God did perform that good thing. God brought the branch of David into the world. His name is Jesus, and he saved his people from their sins. Deliverance arrived through the life, the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of this Savior of ours. In us, there is no righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness, for in him we have the forgiveness of our sins. Because of his work, God declares us righteous. The Lord's apostle is written for our comfort. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So let our hopes be centered not on what kind of recovery we may enjoy in this country, if a gracious God permits, but let our hopes focus on those coming days that God has promised to us because of Jesus. Listen to his words. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Because I live, you will live also. Listen to his prayer for us. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory.
The hymn chosen for this morning's chapel address is hymn 785 from the Worship Supplement.
Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in his bosom gather, nestling bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge there was given. His mighty arms he bears them. Neither life nor death shall ever from the Lord his children sever. Unto them his grace he showeth, and their sorrows all he knows. His children ne'er forsaketh, is the Lord.